Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today we're chatting with Julie Wallace. Julie has set several FKTs, and today we're going to chat with her about her recent unsupported female FKT on Shining Rock Wilderness Ridge in North Carolina, as well as what led her to attempt her first solo FKT. So let's dive in. Hi, Julie. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Hi.
So I've been to the Shining Rock Wilderness. I think it's lovely. That was part of the reason why I wanted to talk with you about this when I saw that you set this record. But I don't think a lot of our listeners are very familiar with it unless they're in the North Carolina region. So can you tell us a little bit about the route and maybe like the surrounding area? What attracted you to it in the first place?
Yeah. So I actually am a transplant to North Carolina. I moved out there in December. I'm an Oregonian, fifth generation Oregonian. My grandparents are great-great-grandfather homesteaded Oregon. So I'm always looking for new adventures. And when I arrived in North Carolina, I just was looking on the FKT site and seeing what are some areas that would be really nice. And I knew the Blue Ridge Parkway had some really beautiful areas. And so I was looking through the site and I was trying to look at the distances of the FKTs. And the Shining Rock Wilderness looked really interesting to me. And I liked it because it had all of those peaks that you had to climb up and down. And it runs along also the Art Loeb Trail. And this particular FKT actually runs along an older version of that trail. And so it kind of was interesting to me because, for one, it was the right length. And then, two, a woman has not done that yet or placed a name on it. And out west in Oregon, there's a group called Women Who FKT. And so I kind of was looking for something to put a name up for women. And then because there were so many ridges that you had to climb up and over, I don't know, it's just very interesting to explore a new area or a new region coming from Oregon and the contrast between what we have to deal with in Oregon versus here. It's very different because in Oregon, it's like you spend your day climbing the peak and then you're running down. Whereas you don't do this peak to peak to peak to peak. And so that was what was fun. And I just thought it was really beautiful. And there's one part, I can't remember which mountain it was, but they actually had these granite rocks coming out of the ground. And I felt like I was in a wonderful, magical place. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun.
I think that a magical place is a great way to describe the Shining Rock Wilderness and the East in general. I think the Appalachians have a lot of really interesting rock features and things that are very distinctive and make you kind of feel like you're in a fairyland. So your family, you said, homesteaded in Oregon. Did they by any chance come from North Carolina? Like, is there like a really cool like connection?
No, there's not a connection there. A lot of my Oregon friends are moving to the region. They want to escape the fires. There's just a migration going to North Carolina.
So. Yeah, I'm actually not too surprised about that. So I lived for many years in the Seattle area. And I'm out on the East Coast now as well. I keep wanting to go back west, but I'm just like, well, I don't really want to breathe smoke for months on end, you know. So for North Carolina is a very attractive location for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
So back to the route a little bit. You said it was the right length. And I think that's just under 18 miles because it was like an out and back
for me. Yeah. Yeah. About around 18 miles. And of course, it was all brand new to me. I have never set foot in that area before in my life.
Oh, and wow.
So the whole entire route was new for me. So it was a little bit scary because, for one, I don't know the area. Out in Oregon, it's like I know the trails really well. I've been on them a lot. And so I know my exit strategies if I get into trouble. Whereas out trying this new trail, there was a little bit towards the end where it was a little bit scary for me because it was a lot more remote and steep. And I just don't know how people go in and out of there from that access point. I don't know the trails that connect to it. So it was all kind of like, I was nervous at the end because I didn't know where I was. And the trail ended up being, it seemed much longer than the actual GPS was saying or whatever, which happens sometimes, as we all know, who's going out there and doing this stuff. But I don't know, I just was nervous. And it was also more difficult than what I had set out to do. I had in my head I was going to be done in X amount of hours, but it actually was 2 hours longer or a couple hours longer than what I had thought because of the terrain. And then I don't know if I hurt myself in a ultra marathon in the fall. I busted my knee running the Pilot Mountain to Hanging Rock Ultra. And 3 miles into that race, I fell and I busted my knee open and I had to be pulled off the course and carted into the emergency room.
Wow.
And that subsequently resulted in a injury that required surgery. And I was out for about a month. And I signed up for the Black Canyon Ultra Marathon in Arizona, and I ran that. But since that injury, I've been very timid running in technical terrain. I'm nervous about falling and everything. It's really rooty out east versus out west. And so that's something that I've been accustomed to. And so that in combination of the heights and the difficulty of the terrain, it was just a lot longer than I had planned. but at the same time, as I left the whole day open to do this thing, so it wasn't a bad thing. And once I got to the turnaround point and came back through, then I was like, okay, I'm okay. I'm not going to be able to make dinner with my honey, but we're good. But I had intermittent cell coverage. And then the views from each mountain or each little thing was just amazing. I mean, it was beautiful all the way. And towards the end, it was really technical. I mean, climbing up and over those things.
Did you have enough supplies? I mean, being out there for several hours longer.
Yeah, I love just going out for hours and running and just 5 hours, 6 hours. And I did that Black Canyon 100K. And so I'm used to carrying all my stuff with me. And so I have my vest and I have plenty of supplies for fuel. I had a total of either 1500 or 2000 for my water. And then I had plenty of fuel supply. And then in other places, I would maybe carry a filter, a water filter, but there's not much as far as creek crossings or anything like that. So it's very limited on that. So I knew I had to carry everything with me. And so I felt like I had enough supplies out there. I have a little cleanup kit in case I needed to use the restroom or something, but I felt I was adequately, you know, supplied up. I haven't carried the GPS thing a lot of the hikers will carry because I feel like I'm this Oregonian and I can, you know, I'm going to be okay, which is a very arrogant way of thinking. So I do need to get myself one of those. My boyfriend is really, he's on me to get that. And I always take a picture of what I look like. I'll take a picture of my outfit and give it to him. This is what I look like in case I get into trouble. I've never gotten into any big trouble yet, but you never know. I mean, the one thing I did think during that trip, I wish I had the GPS thing just towards the end because I didn't know where I was at. I'm at the out and back part of it.
For sure, the Shining Rock Wilderness is pretty remote. I definitely tried to go on a trail there that was on the map, but it wasn't really on the ground. There is definitely something to be said for having some sort of GPS with you, whether for navigation or for safety. But those other tips are very good and very important. I really like the idea of taking the picture of what you look like in your gear to leave with somebody, because I think that that's something that can come in really handy. Like if something does happen, you know, like, which we all hope, of course, nothing does happen, but that can be super helpful for the search and rescue. I'm curious why you chose a difficult route that you'd never set foot on in a new place for your first solo FKT.
I don't know. I guess it's my nature. in this, I'm also constantly training for like ultra marathons. And so I'm always wanting to look. For one, it was close to Asheville. So I wanted something close to Asheville. And the other thing is I like to push my body and see where I can take my body. And the elevation wasn't something that's not something that scared, makes me nervous. My girlfriend and I out in Oregon actually created a FKT. It was called the Jackass Trail. We were training for a 100K and I think it's like 38 miles long. And so nobody had ever done it. And I didn't know if I was even going to be able to do it. And she brings me the stuff. And she says, hey, want to do this? And I'm like, sure, I'll do that. So I'm always up for the adventure. But honestly, I didn't realize how, I guess I was humbled during it because I didn't realize how difficult the steepness was going to be and the technical aspect of it. I guess the reason why I chose something so hard is I just like the challenge and I like to push my body, and also because of my training for other events and stuff.
Right.
And to put a female name on it. There is another one. There's FKT north of Asheville that is, I think, a 37 miler that I don't think anybody has done. So that might be one that I'll do in the fall. So I'm kind of looking at that one and seeing and eyeing it. And it wasn't like the shiny rock. It's not like, okay, one day in 1 week, I said, I'm going to go out and do it. I had been eyeing it for a while. I had to plan out the right day. I had to make sure I had the right time. I needed a whole day to do it. So I needed to plan, okay, when is a good time to do it? So I had been eyeing it for a while and checking on it and looking at the maps and seeing if I, you know, where it's all at.
I personally love to do things that are just a challenge. So I totally get that. And so it sounds like to me, like, maybe the most challenging aspect of the route was just the technicality and the constant elevation gain and loss. Like,
yes.
And so did that surprise you when you got out there, like the level of it?
It did. Cause I'm like, when are these going to be over? You know, but like, when are they going to be done? But at the same time too, I'm used to going up and down, up and down. And that's one thing that I've gotten used to because I've been running or training a lot in out in the Bent Creek Wilderness in Asheville. And all of that area, you have lots of up and down. And this Mountain to Seas Trail, there's lots of up and down.
Oh, yeah.
And so I knew that it was going to be somewhat like that. I just didn't know that it was going to be that steep and rocky. Like you have the big riverbed rocks that are not a part of the river, but you have to go through them. And there's lots of vegetation on the trail. So you have narrow areas. I think I came out with like some war wounds, I guess.
Right.
Scrapes on my legs. It definitely was not easy. And it did humble me because I went in thinking, oh, I'll be done in this amount of time. But no, it was much, much more difficult than what I had set out to do. Hills are my nemesis, though. I do not like running up hills. Walking's okay, but running is challenging going up the hills. So.
Yeah. That is definitely a difference that surprises a lot of people, especially in the Appalachian region, like versus, you know, if you're coming from someplace like Colorado or the Pacific Northwest, it's like everything is built for only for foot traffic and very steep foot traffic. It's not graded for stock and it's nothing you can get into a rhythm.
Right.
You know, I liken it to the interval training, like on your, you know, where you're just going up and then down and up and then down and up and then down, and it's steep and it's rocky and it's rooty. It's super challenging.
Yeah.
For sure.
The other thing that's challenging is I don't, and this might be a really strange thing, but I don't know the animals in the forests out there. Mm-hmm. I don't know the bugs. And the thing that I really have a hard time with the snakes, because we don't, we have rattlesnakes out west, but the big black snakes, everybody says, oh, those are good snakes. Those are the good snakes. And I'm like, what? And so that's the other thing that I get freaked out about because I don't know what wildlife I'm dealing with out there. So that also kind of like gets in my head a little bit.
Totally. And I mean, for me, like it's always like I hate running trails in the east because like you said, they're overgrown and narrow and you can't see the snakes. Like when you're out west, like even if there is a rattlesnake, you probably are going to see it. Like it doesn't just like curl up right there under the brush next to the trail, you know, it might be under a rock, but you know, you'll hear it. The snakes can definitely hide and copperheads, especially like they can just be laying right there and you aren't even going to see them. Usually they're pretty chill, but yeah, it is. It can be really disconcerting. And especially when you're not familiar with the area.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know any of that stuff. Whereas growing up in Oregon, I know that stuff. And even like poison ivy versus poison oak. We have lots of poison oak out in my area. And so I don't know that stuff very well. And so that also makes it challenging, but whatever. Yeah. It's all about the journey and it's all about the ride and seeing where you can take your body. And I'm not a downer. Like I'm not somebody who, I try not to get beat down by my adventures. I did do Corsica though, and that beat me down. The GR20 in Corsica.
Oh, okay.
That beat me down.
I have heard that is really beautiful, but very hard.
It is so beautiful. It's very, very gorgeous, but it is extremely hard. And we tried to condense it. You're supposed to do it in 16 days, I think. We did it in like 13 because we had some time constraints and it was really hard. But that is one that did beat me up. But we're all good. We made it.
Yeah.
Learned some lessons with that one.
Yeah, I think that's part of the fun of not just FKTs, but just like trail running in general or just seeing a place on foot, you know, even if you're just hiking, you know, is like learning all these different things, experiencing all these different things, the different plants and animals and, you know, the different geologic features. I think that's really neat. And I mean, in this country, we're really lucky. We have so many different areas to explore.
Yeah, we do. And the contrast between the West Coast versus the East Coast. And the interesting thing is not knowing the East Coast as well. I feel as though I came in with a arrogance because, oh, well, your mountains aren't as high as our mountains. So how can they be any more more difficult. But the reality of it is sometimes I think it's more difficult to go running because you have so much up and down, up and down, up and down, mm-hmm. versus like running up to a mountain on a ridgeline and you just run along the ridgeline for a little bit and then you run down. And so mm-hmm. it's been really, really good. But it's grown me in a way, because it's like, hey, I can't come in with this, like, I'm an Oregonian girl, you know, it's mm-hmm. people from Colorado are probably saying, well, I'm a Colorado person or whatever.
Yeah. I think that it's great to be able to do things in a different area that really pushes you, because yeah, the East just has like so much more up and down and so much steepness and technicality to it. And what it doesn't have in altitude, it makes up for in difficulty, like yeah. physical difficulty, which I think is, you're right, it's constantly underestimated. And it's a great place to just like really get yourself into shape and get your yeah. butt kicked once in a while.
Yeah. yeah. And it's really beautiful. You know, all the areas in the U.S. are really beautiful. And it's just fun to appreciate a different beauty than the Pacific Northwest versus what the beauty that they have out east. And you see new things. And like I said, different animals, different snakes, different vegetation, different rocks. You know, it's all been fun to explore. And I'm looking forward to exploring more of yeah. the East Coast for sure. And I am some FKTs out there.
Is it a secret? Like what FKTs you're looking at? I'm kind of curious what you've got in mind.
Well, there's this one. I don't know exactly what the name of it is. So I'm almost 50 years old. So that's another thing, is that as I age, it's kind of fun for me to go after these things because, hey, I'm almost 50 and I'm still getting after it. And I know there's lots of women in my age group that are doing that or feeling that way. And so that's been a caveat to a lot of this. I try to look for one, because on some of them, it would be impossible for me to get the FKT. Like I was talking to my boyfriend the other day about, we could try the mountain to sea trail or something, but it's somebody's already gotten it, and a younger woman. So there is one north, I don't know the name of it, but north of Asheville, that's the 40-mile loop. That one I'm kind of eyeing. And then there's another, the Pigsaw Mountain.
Pisgah. That, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know yeah. it's a short one. It's not a very mm-hmm. long one, but that one hasn't been done by a woman yet. The last time mm-hmm. I looked, I don't think that one. So that's one that I was thinking would be like a good training run. But this 40 miler just north of Asheville is another one that I'm looking at, but I don't know the name of it. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. It's always surprising to me how, number one, how many routes are out there, and then how many routes just don't have a time in every category, mm-hmm. especially like women's categories. There's just so much.
Yeah. And have you heard of the Women Who FKT?
I have heard of it. I think that their initiative started after I left the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard of it. Yeah. It's been fun, like interviewing a lot of people on the podcast so far this year, because quite a few of the women I've interviewed have been inspired by that organization to get out there and do more FKTs, which is fantastic. For a long time, I didn't know any other women doing FKTs. So I'm really excited to see yeah. more women out there doing FKTs. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I hope to keep doing them. I mean,
yeah,
I want to get after it for as long as I can. I mean, I've always been a hiker or backpacker, but I've never been super serious except later in my life. And so I always like surprise myself, because I tell myself, well, and you can never go back, because all your journey is always what it is, right? You know, our journey is purposeful. There's things that you learn in your journey that are, because you didn't take this route, then it doesn't mean that that was a bad thing, because you're always learning something along your journey. But I always wonder what it would have been like if I would have started this FKT journey or my running journey or my long haul backpacking journeys. Like, what would it have been like if I did the PCT when I was 25 years old or in my 20s? Mm-hmm. How would that have been a game changer for me, you know? And so I still have that goal. Like, I think it'd be really fun to still do the PCT. I think that'd be great. Yeah. So those are still some goals of mine. I don't know when I'll be able to incorporate them in, but I'm going to go for as long as I can, as long as my body will let me do it. I'm gonna
yeah.
keep going.
I think that's always the goal. At least that's my goal. Keep going as long as possible.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious that you've been out in, you're in Asheville, I take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know you haven't set a lot of FKTs or whatever. So maybe you just talk more about the ultra running scene, but maybe what are some of the differences you've noticed between like the FKT or the ultra running scene between Oregon and the East Coast? Because I feel like a lot of times they're different, like, entities altogether.
Oh, goodness. So I feel as though I haven't really integrated a whole lot with the people on the East Coast yet. Like, and maybe that's something that I need to work on, but I feel as though Oregon, and I also used to live in Bend, Oregon. I don't know if you've heard of Bend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's an athlete. You know, every person is an athlete, and everybody, like, I feel like people are throwing down FKTs all the time. And everybody's a runner, and they're always going full force to the wind. You know, they're always, you know, all my friends are all talking. They're all like, why did this? Why did this? Why did this? And I don't see that as much in the circle that I've built. But I did meet up with two women who are super fun. I met these two English women and I've been running with them a lot. And so that's been fun to get to know them and run with them. But it's hard to compare because I haven't had much experience with the ultra FKT culture on the East Coast. So it's a little bit hard of a question to answer. But I do feel like maybe there's not as many that do it on the East Coast. But maybe that's just my perception versus on the West Coast. It seems like everybody does it, but they're all my friends. So it's just,
right.
I don't know. I don't know if that makes any sense. Yeah.
No, it totally does. Especially when you're really fully integrated into the scene in one area. It's like, it takes some time to get integrated into it in another area.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. A funny story is I did run the Black Canyon Ultra, and this was after my injury on the Pilot Rock Hanging Rock Ultra. And during the race, I ran into this gentleman, and he was from the Raleigh-Durham area, and we started talking about ultramarathons. And he's like, yeah, did you hear about that woman who fell on that race and she had been called off the course? And I was like, yeah, that was me. I'm the person who did that. That was me.
Yeah. So you're already legendary in the
community. I guess. I don't know. I guess if you want to call a pink curtain and carried off the course and my 50K turning into a 5K, yeah, I'm legendary. So, yeah.
So you mentioned that you're looking at doing FKTs more as like training. Do you have a bunch of races, you know, scheduled?
I do. I just in May, the beginning of May, I did the Stumptown Ultra in Portland, Oregon. And it was a slippery mess, super muddy, but I felt like I was glissading down a mountain at one point. And then this weekend, I just did the Rogue Relay, which is a relay race. It started out at Applegate Lake in Oregon and ended up at the beach. On the East Coast, I would like to go back and do the Hanging Mountain Pilot Rock Ultra just to kind of prove to myself that I can do that race and not fall and get carted off the course.
Right. So some redemption.
Yeah, a redemption. I don't know. I feel as though the FKT might... I do want to put a lot more into that just because I just think it's so much fun because I grew up doing track and cross country and road racing. And in my earlier years, it would cause me so much stress because every time I would go run, I'd have to run, okay, you have to do this many miles and you have to do it at this speed. And I remember one year I ran the Hood to Coast Relay with my twin. I'm a twin and my sister also runs. And we were both running paces that were below a 7:20-minute mile pace. And which for a road race, yes, it's not like 6-minute miles, but it's still pretty fast. And so I can't keep up with that speed anymore. And so the thing I like about the ultras is I don't feel that anxiety as I would in a road race. And that also translates to the FKTs because it's like internal challenge. Can I complete this? Can I do this? Is this something that's possible? Can I navigate? You know, will I be able to find the trail? And am I going to navigate this without my boyfriend calling people who come and save me? You know, am I going to get home in a decent hour before he calls the rescue operation? So that's what I love about the FKTs is because it's like you can find something and say, I think I can do that. And yeah. I love the adventure of trying to navigate the routes. I mean, that's really fun to me. And I got my first degree in geography and actually did map making for years. And so cartography and map making is something that's really fun. So navigating, which is yes, we have the GPS things, but navigating and orienteering is kind of an old sport because we have all this technology that we don't know. Like nobody really reads the contour lines anymore to try and say, you know, it's all just right there. And so that's just really fun for me just to navigate. That kind of throws another wrench into the whole excitement of the adventure. Mm-hmm. So that's fun.
Yeah, I think you touch on a lot of the really appealing parts of FKTs, you know, like being able to design your own race course, really. And it's a race of one. I agree. Like part of the fun is like drooling over the maps and like looking at them and plotting your route. And
so I guess I'm just amazed by all the
people that are younger that are going after these FKTs. And I think to myself, would I have been able to do those when I was their age, like in my early 20s? And I didn't have the confidence to go out into the forest all by myself. Like that was something that was extremely terrifying to me. And I guess that takes me into the next stage as if, well, I didn't get that done back then, but hey, maybe I make it an age thing. You know, maybe, hey, I'm one of the older women that go after these FKTs. Look, that's right. Really cool. And you can do it too. Just because we're getting older and just because maybe our body doesn't work the same way does not mean that we still can't get after things. So even though I didn't have the confidence then, I can still have the confidence in moving forward.
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of the reason younger women have the confidence now is because they have people like you as role models to see that they can get out there and get after it no matter what. Well, thanks again, Julie. I really appreciate you coming on here and sharing all this wonderful insight.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks again, Julie, for coming on the show. You can check out her FKTs on the website, fastestknowntime.com, and follow her at Julie K. Wallace on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, this is Heather on the FKT Podcast.